I always enjoyed fall on the farm, as it was a time of beauty and satisfaction, the leaves changing. This actually is our farm back east, so I thought I'd share a picture with you on that. The leaves changing colors, the fields that are full of corn and garden full of beans and tomatoes and onions, and we raised all kinds of stuff because that's how we ate the rest of the year, was raising most of it in the garden. And for the cattle and pigs and chickens and stuff, we had to have wheat in the granaries and some oats, and of course at this time probably corn still in the field. But we would can. My mother would put into jars about 300 was her normal goal, 300 quarts of beans and corn and even venison, but peaches and cherries. And that was the preparation for the long winter. And when that was done, that was always, well, for one thing, it was always hunting season when that was over. And so the school system back there finally decided that there's no sense in fighting it, so we'll just leave them off for the first day of school because nobody's going to show up anyway. The girls hunt as much as the guys do, and they would be gone. So there was a sense of fulfillment, enjoyment. This was the time to sit back and before the bad weather got in and enjoy life. And the scripture indicates that God is pleased with much fruit. Now, he sees it a little differently. He's not talking about peaches here, unless some of you are peaches. But he's talking about what we produce in our life. People who are one to Christ, people who are becoming Christ-like in their character. And when we involve ourselves with that, we are bearing fruit. I remember once when the county was widening the road up past our holler and straightening it. It was just basically, the way they did things back east was they had cow paths and then they finally just paved them over and called them roads. But they finally straightened it and made a kind of a real road out of it. But in the process, they bulldozed over a bunch of apple trees. And I still remember those apple trees all tossed over on the side down in the ditch. They still had green leaves. They hadn't damaged the tree at all, just kind of put the root out, and there was even dirt on the root. Leaves were green, but immediately the apples stopped growing. They just stopped right there. And that's often true in the Christian life. When we are not properly rooted and grounded in Christ, our growth can stop. And this morning we want to look at that idea. The whole tree is necessary. We had some horses that got out and got into some of the new trees, apples and peaches, and they just nibbled off all the ends. And as far as they could reach with the, of course the trees were small, they could reach most of it, and just killed the tree. Because even though the tree was rooted and the tree had a good trunk and the tree had limbs, when the leaves and the ends where the buds form are chewed off, it dies. One occasion, and you'll see it oftentimes, people put wire around the bottom of their fruit trees to keep the rabbits away. The rabbit can't get up there where the horse did and get all the tender ends of the limbs, but they eat around the bark. And they don't eat much. They just eat all the bark around the limb, around the trunk of the small tree, and the tree dies. Now, the point is this: fruit bearing is a product of the whole tree. And as believers, God has a wide variety of things that constitutes our being a believer in Christ, and all of those things must progress. We can't just go on and say, well, I'm a believer and I'm a really good person. I just rob gas stations for a living. Well, wait, there's some disconnect there. You can't be growing in Christ and pursue that. And that's true in many other areas. So this morning we're looking in our study on fruit bearing. Every part of the plant is necessary for fruit bearing. Every part. And in our life, we can't say, well, we just neglect this and we won't deal with that problem. No, God wants our lives to be full so it can be productive. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Christ is the vine, not part of the plant, as it were. He is the plant. And if we are in him, his life flows out through us. And in that process, we will bear fruit. If any part of that gets disrupted, fruit will not be growing. Colossians says, we are rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. We are to be rooted and grounded in him. Without roots, there's no nourishment to the plant. In John 15, the passage we were looking at, the trunk is essential, which Christ said, I am the vine. Abide in me, he says. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, no more can you unless you abide in him. See, that's one of the key elements between religion and Christianity. Religion can do all the things that they want to do that's religious. And they can say the things that sound religious. But the key element is the life of Christ in you and flowing through you and out through you to produce something that is eternal. And if you don't have that, religion doesn't lead you anywhere. It doesn't lead to fruit bearing. If you look at a tree, what do you see? A tree. Wasn't that profound? But you realize as you look at a tree, well, maybe I could look more closely. Well, there is a trunk. There are limbs. There's leaves. There's, if it's a fruit tree, some kind of fruit. Well, almost any tree produces something so it can reproduce, nuts or fruits or even little seeds, some edible, some not. But the point is it produces something. It is built to do that. But if you're a biologist, in this case, if you're really serious about understanding your life in Christ, a biologist looks at the tree and they see a growing organism with all these different things you maybe never heard of, the layers of the bark. They see the process of chlorophyll in the leaves. They understand, I suppose, how water gets from a root up 60 or 70 feet in an oak tree and supplies water to that leaf up at the very top. How does the water get up there? Well, the tree is designed to take it up through that cambium layer and it gets there and it will produce fruit. I've seen cherry trees that were 40 feet high, growing all kinds of cherries. In fact, we love those trees because those of us that were a little more athletic or older could climb up and get the highest, which of course were sweeter, and spit seeds down on the kids that couldn't climb that high. But I wouldn't do that anymore. But this is the way Christians need to look at their life. You're not just a church member, I hope. I mean, we want you to be a church member, but not just, okay? Get that just in there. You're to be a living, growing organism in the body of Christ. And you can look at church and see just people who are in fellowship together. But if you look more closely, you should see more. People who are struggling with their faith. People who are trying to understand God's plan for their life. People who are looking to the Word of God for sustenance in their life and for instruction and for growth. Looking for that purpose that goes beyond this life. There's so much more to the Christian life, just as there is so much more to a tree. Do we see in ourselves and in others the fruit of the Spirit, the working of God? God is doing something in that life. And we can be part of that by encouragement. The opportunity arises by teaching, by fellowship, by just working together with people. Ultimately, the spiritually discerning person will see the life of Christ there in you and in us. He's there. And he's evidencing himself in small and various ways. Do we look for that in one another? Peter says, beside all this, and we're not going to get into the all this side, that's another message, but giving all diligence, add to your faith, or provide in your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are in you and abound, in other words, not just they're there, but if they're in you and you begin to let those things abound in your life and you set your life to include those things in your faith, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Holy Spirit is working those things in you. They're there. And I understand, particularly as we look at ourselves, you don't see growth because our growth is incremental. But God is doing it, working you in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Sometimes we think it's a long, slow process, and sometimes it is. There are things that we think should change quickly, and they don't. But God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, leaves are also necessary for fruit bearing. And leaves often get a bad rap from preachers. And one of the favorite passages in that regard is in Mark. It says, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it and found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, says to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now, that is a good illustration of the fact that the tree didn't bear fruit, but it did have leaves. And of course we have Psalm, nothing but leaves for the master. Well, that's not the point of parable. The parable is trying to impress upon us, it's good to have roots, it's good to have a tree, it's good to have leaves, but the ultimate purpose and fulfillment is in the fruit. And if it doesn't produce fruit, then it is not fulfilling its purpose. We need to look at that in our Christian life. Our Christian life is not just our testimony. A lot of people say, well, I just let people know by my life. No, your life, as they look at it, might be that, well, you're a nice guy or lady. Well, that's good. But that doesn't point anybody to Christ necessarily. They might say that, well, you're just weird. That's maybe even truer for most of us. And that's probably true too. But why? If we do things differently because of a relationship with Christ, that's what's important. What do they hear about the leaves that we are putting forth? Leaves also evidence life. The scripture says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, it isn't that God just said, well, produce fruit and I don't care about the rest of it. The whole plant is involved. And all of our life in Christ is involved in producing that which is eternal. The scripture has a lot to say, actually, about outward profession, which is what leaves represent. in Acts 6 when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was struck down, saw the light flash in the sky and heard the voice that called him from taking Christians back to Jerusalem to put them to death to becoming a believer. And the people looked at that, and I'm sure many of them said, you know, Saul of Tarsus is a tricky character. What better way to find out who's a Christian that claimed to be one and then go into their group and say, all right, I know who these guys are, and after I get out of here, I'll haul them all off to Jerusalem and we'll put them to death. If I was a believer there, I would be a little suspicious of Saul of Tarsus. So it says they looked for a man among them who would be able to have the integrity, as it were, to go to Saul of Tarsus and test the reality of his faith by talking to him. One Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to Saul. See, that was a key element. If he is going to go and say, you know, I've talked to Saul of Tarsus, I think his conversion is real, we need to take him in and teach him and care for him and encourage him and involve our lives in his life and take that risk that he's really just trying to fool us so he can haul us off to death. They looked for a man that when he came back and said that, they say, well, if Ananias trusts him, I guess I will too. A person of good report. When the deacons were being chosen, they said, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. One of the key elements are these people who have a testimony in their community. You could take almost any book of the Bible, 1 Timothy being one. In chapter 2, he says, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with that which becomes women professing godliness with good works. They were expected to be able to see the good works. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. They were selecting bishops and elders. Moreover, he must have a good report of those who are without, or those outside the church. Not just a good report among the people of God, but the community at large. Is this man honest? Is this man's word good? Is this a person who does what he says he will do? Is he involved in people's lives, whether they're a believer or they're outside? Does he help people? God expects our life to reach out of these doors, as we're hearing each week, outside the church, and have a good report of those out there. Paul's evaluation of Timothy himself says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's Paul summarizing Timothy's life. Professed a good profession before many witnesses. Every part of the plant is essential for fruit bearing. Your testimony is part of fruit bearing. Winning people to Christ usually starts when our life reveals his compassion and care for people. I know you're probably not overwhelmed with appreciation when someone just comes up and grabs you and tells you you're all wrong and you better do it the way I want to do it. No, you talk about it. You want to have a life that backs up what you believe is like that. You want to be able to convince, not extort. Every aspect of life of the branch goes back to the plant. in the grape sits the vine. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you unless you abide in me. That means being involved in God's word. It means spending some time in prayer on occasion. It means sharing your faith with other people who need to know him. It means letting the Spirit of God prompt you when you need to step in and help somebody who needs help. And be sensitive to the Spirit. Everybody that's on the side of the road hitchhiking is not somebody to pick up. But the Spirit of God may prompt you to do that in some particular occasion. Be open to the moving of the Spirit in your life. We produce fruit when the life of Christ in us produces it. If he doesn't produce it, it's not really fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And notice the phrase he tacks on to that. So shall you be my disciples. See, it's not just that fruit glorifies the Father. It does. It's not just as on a farm, the produce, the fruit, glorifies or satisfies or causes the reputation of the farmer. The guys down at the local store and around the Cracker Barrel and bragging about how he's raising apple trees over on his farm, and after a couple years, they say, well, how many bushels of apples are you getting? Oh, we're not measuring in bushels, but we have the nicest trees, and they're right in a row. They're just lined up perfectly, and they're all big and got lots of leaves on them. They're beautiful. Well, that's good. But what are they producing? No one would say, whoa, he's one of the best apple farmers in the state because his trees look good. No, it's the fruit that is produced. And we need to get that into our minds as believers. Are we producing the fruit of Jesus Christ in our life, out through our life, extending to the lives of others? God has called us to win souls, to build the character of Christ in ourselves and others, and to be characterized by good works. Oh, we preachers get bad on that too. Because you're not saved by works doesn't mean you're not supposed to have them. We can get so emphatic on that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's true. But get beyond salvation. It's all true. Forget works for salvation. God doesn't save someone because they worked at it, because they deserved it, because they earned it. He saves us by grace. He simply loves us and says, I want you. And he draws us to himself, and we believe, and we're saved. But he says, now live like it. You're my child. I want you to represent me. I want to do things with you and through you and in you. God wants good works. Two things. In conclusion, stay connected to the vine, for without me you can do nothing, Jesus says. And go and bring forth much fruit. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunities you give us. Opportunities to be a witness for Christ. Opportunities to realize that we are fulfilling a purpose and a destiny far beyond anything we have thought of or imagined. We get so ingrown and looking at our own things, we forget that there is an eternity to enjoy the things that you have for us. Thank you, Father, for each one here, the gifts, the fellowship, the good work that you do in every heart, and the promise that the work that you have begun in us, you will perform until the day of Christ. Oh, we resist and we neglect, but Father, you are faithful. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.